So here they come, and I was, you know, getting ready. I was bowing up, getting my fist ready, and here they come across the bridge, and I was talking to my brother, and here, they're already walking across the bridge, two of them, and I was talking to him, and there was no answer. Said his name again, turn around and look.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Cody.
I'm Larry.
Well, we got two fine guests tonight. We're not going to give any hints about the kind of stories they're going to tell us or what they're going to do. We're going to see how long it takes you to figure out what these fine men do as part of their lives. But Mr. Larry here, we talked about, I guess, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, yeah. Thanks to Cody. Cody reached out to us and shared that you were a fine storyteller. So he volunteered you that you need to be on the Hayden Outbound Podcast.
Yeah, he called and let me in on that after he did it.
Afterwards.
After he did it.
A fine son.
Yeah, just like a fine son, yeah.
Well, we've got a whole list of stories that we haven't heard, but we've talked about, and I'm anxious to hear several of these just the way you've titled them. So let's get to telling that first story.
So my brother was bad to start a fight, and I was the oldest, just like I guess all little brothers, they look to their big brother to cover for them when they get into it. So there was, my granddaddy lived up on a big hill on a church road, and I know some people nowadays can't even relate to a church road. My granddaddy lived up on a hill, and there was a bridge at the bottom. And on the other side of the creek was our rivals. So we had been, how boys are. You get to play and get to, you know, arguing and stuff. But anyway, he started a fight with one of the other boys. And he said, well, we'll just meet y'all down at the bridge. And so I said, yeah, we'll do that, because I was all for it. So anyway, you got to think about it. We're on a chert road. Probably didn't have on nothing but a pair of shorts, probably, more than likely, and maybe some tennis shoes. But so here they come, and I was, you know, getting ready. I was bowing up, getting my fist ready, and here they come across the bridge, and I was talking to my brother, and here, they're already walking across the bridge, two of them, and I was talking to him, and there was no answer. And so I said his name again, turn around and look. He's at the top of the other hill. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you've ever fought on a chert road or not. Mm-hmm. That was pretty bad. So I done what I could with two people. So I came back to my granddaddy's house, and of course, somebody had been fighting on a chert road. I was cut all to pieces. I mean, them things are like razor blades. Mm-hmm. And so I walk in the house, and my granddaddy noticed, first of all, said, where have you been? I said, I've been fighting them boys across the creek. And he said, why was you fighting them? I said, because he started a fight with them. And then it changed. The mood changed. Then I don't know how many people know what a razor strap is. Mm-hmm. That's what the barber used to sharpen his mm-hmm. razor with. They're used for more than just sharpening razor blades back in the day. So my granddaddy had one that hung up on a nail, mm-hmm. and some people can relate to this. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm fixing to get beat within an inch of my life for fighting. He asked my brother, and I was still thinking, I'm fixing to get it. And he said, did you start the fight? Yeah, and he said, did you run and leave your brother to fight the fight? And he said, yes, sir, I did. And he wasn't a man that if he pulled that off that nail, you were going to get it. I never got a whooping by it because I witnessed my brother get a whooping by it. And I guarantee you, he was in Afghanistan, Iraq, and he'd tell you this day he wouldn't run from a fight because I'm telling you. And I think my granddaddy made me watch it just so it would deter any of us up. And I told that story to my other brothers. I said, you don't want none of that razor strap.
Don't
and
run
you
from
better
the
not run from a fight, because that was the punishment from it. So that's where I learned that from. Don't run from a fight.
What I want to know is what sound did that thing make when it come off that nail?
I'm telling you. When he pulled it off. Yeah, and he wasn't one that would say, like a lot of parents, I'm fixing to.
I'm out to.
He would say, boys, I'm fixing to get up, and you knew what that meant. And but he kept it hanging, and there was four of us, and I know why he did now. He kept it hanging in the living room so we could see it all the time. Mm-hmm. You walked by it everywhere you went.
Reminder.
You walked by that razor strap. That's what it was. So I know people would look at that different now, but that's the way it was back then. That's how I grew up.
Speaking of not backing down from a fight, he taught me that lesson.
You got that lesson taught early.
So I wouldn't. He always taught me not to ever start a fight, but if somebody ever starts something with you, you need to make sure they know that you was there. You may not win, but at least they know that you was there, and that'll make them think twice about messing with you next time. Well, you won't take you long to figure out, hearing him tell stories about me, that I was very rambunctious and I got into a lot of things whenever I was little. Nothing real bad to the world standards or anything like that. I always say that. Just be a boy being a boy. And well, there was this boy that was – I always had to sit on the front pew with him most of the time because my mama would end up either beat me or he'd have to get up in the middle of church to whoop me. And he's done that several times, get up in the middle of service, take me out and whoop me. Well, this boy sitting behind me, I won't say his name, he was a good bit bigger than me. And Yeah, good bit. But he'd been messing with – he was sitting right behind me during church, and I was sitting there trying to keep – him from hurting me during killing me during church, because I wasn't allowed to talk or anything like that during church. Well, he just kept on pinching me on the back of the arm during church, and I had my arm up on the back of the pew about like that, and that boy decided he wanted to just bite a plug out of the back of my arm. And I said, well,
I didn't know all this.
Yeah, I said, well, that's not gonna go real well. Well, after church was over with, he came over there and started poking at me again. And I slammed him in the ground right in front of the altar and just got on top of him. Front of the altar. Everybody.
You didn't go outside.
No. Wait a minute. No. I'm sitting at the back.
Yeah.
I just had preached. Okay.
Good. Appreciate you. Yeah, nice. You know how people welcome you.
And there's a commotion down there. And me the Holy and my Ghost buddy are coming the pastor. And there's this, this mad dash down here. And they didn't even go out the side door.
I was tired of it.
They didn't go out.
I believe you.
They were standing in front of the altar, slugging it out.
Yeah.
I'm talking about slanging fist.
But he never bit me or pinched me ever. He's way big. I'm telling, this was a big old overgrown boy. I'm talking, I was little 50 pounds, 60 pounds soaking wet. This boy's every bit of 100 pounds, and I took him down right there in front of everybody.
Right in front of God and everybody.
Yeah, in front of God and everybody.
I mean, in front of the all, I said, I'm done. This is only second.
I'm not going to recover.
My son over here to a revival meeting, and he breaks out in the fit Monday night. It wasn't on during the week. This was Monday night of revival, and we got in the car. And, you know, how do you start? You know, I'm so proud that I can't say, well, you know, I've taught you to take up for yourself, not to start fights, never start them, but hold your ground when you have to. And I said, Cody, I said, son, you know, you got in a fight in the church house. And I said, besides that, he's 2 foot taller than you. Yeah. What were you thinking? I mean, this boy's a big old overgrown boy.
You didn't sit in there in the second team. Not a brawler.
Not a brawler. I know.
Well, let's look at the silver lining. They were right where they needed to be at
right
the end of the fight.
Where they needed to be at the end.
They could both get and pray right there.
Oh, yeah. They did. The mamas got them together and made them apologize to each other. And they were squalling and everything, you know, all that. But anyway.
Well, did you get to preach the next night?
Yeah, I thought
good.
When I got in the car, I said they're going to call me tonight and say, hey, we're good. You know, the rest of the week, we'll handle it from here.
We just happened to talk after the service and decided
we just knock off the rest of the week.
Call it good.
God's been so good, we're just going to end it right here.
So he was real stubborn growing up. And, you know, my daughter... She never really gave me a lot of material. I know most of the stories are about him, but my daughter did say something funny one time. So I knew I was in trouble with him. You know, his first 9 weeks of kindergarten, and I worked third shift. This has been, you know, he's 30. He's 30 years old, so that's been a long time since kindergarten. And I worked third shift. My wife woke me up. And you know how mamas overreact. And this is when I knew what rope, how he was going. And I thought he'd robbed a bank. When he, the way his mama woke me
approached
up.
Approached you.
That he had robbed a bank and he was in jail. That's how she woke me up. And she said, the principal's on the phone and Cody and these other boys are using the bathroom on the wall writing their names. Yes. And I said, well, tell him to tear him up and don't call me no more. But they were writing their names.
Mm.
And I thought,
now I'm in trouble.
Here we go. Here we go.
I mean, but you do got to give him credit in kindergarten. If yeah. he knew enough cursive, he'd write your name.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
Because it had to be in cursive,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what, it was. You know, and it's
a
just,
run-on sentence.
Yeah, and that's just when I told my wife 9 weeks now, because he had done it preschool one time. I went to see him at preschool, and he said, "Daddy, I need you to tell the teacher." Now, teacher's standing here, preschool. He said, "I need you to tell the teacher something." I said, "What do you want me to tell her?" She's standing. Tell her I can spit on this playground. And I said, I mean, it just, I said, she said I couldn't spit on this playground. I said, I don't guess you're going to be spitting on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff he would, predicaments he had put me into.
Yeah.
You know,
just need a little backup.
And lie. My gosh, the lies he'd tell. You know, it's bad when the preacher's son goes home with people and you say, don't believe a word he says.
Oh, man.
Because he would just make up stuff like, where did you come up with this? And his mama didn't want him to go to nobody's house. Didn't want him to go to anybody's house, you know.
He didn't have a Holy Spirit yet.
No.
No.
That's before you say.
That right? was later yeah. on in life. I mean, it's like, you know, my grandmother, I know that some people probably never seen grandmother, but my grandmother chewed chewing tobacco. That's what she, some grandmothers dip snuff. My grandmother chewed tobacco. Yeah.
not chewing tobacco, but she dipped snuff.
Yeah. She chewed chewing tobacco. And when he was little, it was his great grandmother. She didn't live long. He didn't know where he just remembers a little bit, but she'd give you a chew of chewing tobacco if you wanted. She didn't care. You know, it ain't like nowadays, but she'd give him a chew. And so he got to liking it. And he wanted to go over all the time. And, because he liked that chewing tobacco. So he got on up, and it was just a constant fight. He would bump, try to get men at church to give him a chew. Now, he's 4 or 5 years old, and he would get these men and say, they didn't know. You know, he'd say, what do you got there? And they'd tell him, say, can I smell of it? And they'd say, yeah, you can smell of it. And he'd reach his hand down in there and take off running. With they'd be hollering, I didn't give that to him. I didn't give that to him. So anyway, I said, I'm going to break him. I'm going to break him from chewing this chewing tobacco. So, and I heard, I think Brother Johnny told a story about trying to break his son. I guess we've all done that. But anyway, so one day it was like summertime, August. I mean, you know how it is around here in August in summertime. And so I said, I'm going to break him from this. I went over to the store and I got some days of work, that plug, days of work. Now, that's some stout chewing tobacco. And I'd mowed, and in the backyard it piled up. And I said, we're going to rake grass, and we're going to chew chewing tobacco. And I hadn't chewed none in years. So I cut me off a plug, put it in my mouth, cut him off a plug, gave it to him, and I gave him a rake. And I started chewing mine. Oh, God. You know how it does. Just gets stronger and stronger. It had been years since I'd chewed any. And his old word raking. And he was chewing that. You know, and I thought, this ain't working. And I chewed mine until it was just dry, and he's still raking and chewing. And I said, all right, I said, spit that out. And he said, we're going to do the rest of that. So I knew right then.
I'm in trouble. He yeah. liked it.
He liked it, said, what are you going to do the rest of it?
His What'd eyes you do with it up?
I don't know. I didn't give it to him. His mama would have. Whew, no, I didn't.
I
give
probably
it to
found it wherever he left
found it.
That was the thing. I knew where everybody left it. So
I'd go to that sock drawer.
Yeah.
Mama
yeah.
wasn't involved in this decision making.
No.
I had grandparents, a grandpa. He'd he'd give it to me. My grandma, she'd give it to me. They thought it was the funniest thing they ever saw. They wasn't thinking about long term. They just thought it was funny. Especially because my mama told them not to give it to me. They was going to do the opposite. They knew that's how I was going to come to their house. They'd give me a chew.
Well, I found out later on, and he didn't want to reveal his sources. I had a deacon at a church I pastored. He didn't have no certain brand either. It was whatever brand they had. That's what he's going to get that day. But I didn't know there's this deacon that was keeping him supplied with snuff. He said he'd go over there and he'd tell him to pull his lip out and he'd put old powdered snuff in his mouth where he'd dip it. Yeah.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services, or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show. It wouldn't be the Hayden, Alabama podcast without a hunting story.
We went dove hunting, and he was pretty responsible with a gun. And so I said, you go on down here. And he was just down past me in the dove field, but I couldn't see him. He was back up in the edge of the woods. And no doves flying. And every few minutes I'd hear it. And this boy, let me say, when he shoots, he don't shoot nothing one time. It gets
it all.
It gets all three of them.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
All three of them when he shoots. So I'd hear him shoot, and I'd throw my gun up, you know, and I'd look, and I thought, well, maybe they're going that way. And a few minutes later, he'd shoot, and I'd get my gun up, and I'd think, well, they must be flying down here. And I mean, just shoot and shoot, shoot and shoot, unload and shoot. I mean, it just, and I was like, what in the world is this boy shooting at? I ain't seen a dove yet. So I went walking down there, and he was pointing that gun straight up in the air, and his buzzards. And I don't know how many shells he went through. And I walked down there, and I said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm shooting them birds. I said, you had any luck? I mean, were they 200, 300 feet up in the air? And he's unloading that 20-gauge pump. I bet the barrel's about to melt, thinking he's going to shoot that. And I thought he was seeing dove, but he was shooting at buzzards.
Sky-busting buzzards.
Shooting buzzards.
That's probably why the dove never come.
Did you ever get one of them? No.
We didn't get one. Buzzard, didn't he? But anyway, I thought he was shooting at doves. He was shooting at buzzards. And I didn't go over. We don't shoot just anything.
Right.
You know. So he saw the buzzard. He thought that's game. Just shoot the buzzards.
It's flying. It's dying.
But Tweety birds, buzzards. He probably
shot a box of shells at buzzards.
He was just having a ball, though, weren't you?
I thought I was just shooting. That's what I was doing.
Target practice. That was a good buzzards. Target practice. It's constantly moving. You weren't quite leading them enough is the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one person is bored, and it wasn't him.
No. Yeah, that wasn't me.
Oh, no. I mean, you know how this dove hunting. It's hot. It's always hot, but no, he was shooting. I mean, I thought he was shooting some dove, but I hadn't.
You put him in a hot spot.
And buzzards flying around looking at them reverse raindrops. Seeing the BBs come up and then fall back down. Like, good, what is going on down there?
So we used to be in a hunting club. I had a blast. You know, I'd recommend to anybody with a young son. I mean, I know there's a lot of things for him to do nowadays, but some of the best times and memories we had was deer hunting. You know, one morning it was foggy. You know, for some reason, deer look bigger in the fog. I don't know how many stories I've heard that deer looked bigger in the fog. So he knew not to ever call me unless something happened. You know, I don't want to be in the stand with my phone buzzing. It just drives me crazy. So he's up above me, and I heard boom, boom, boom. Of course, all three of them.
All three.
And then boom. You know, like it right there.
Reload.
I'm like,
reload.
I'm like, my goodness, my goodness.
What has he done?
What work we got to do here?
Gracious. And my phone starts ringing. It's not text. It's ringing. Pick up the phone. And by then, his buddy had made it over to him. And he's laughing. And I knew it was going to be good. And he said, shut up. He said, his buddy was laughing. He said, you ain't going to believe this. And he said, Daddy, and I could tell he was worried. He said, I have just shot the littlest deer I've ever seen in my life. And everybody's done that. I do not know. This deer had to have been born without spots. It had to have been born without spots, because there's no way that deer could be that little without spots. And he said, what am I going to do? I said, have you tried CPR? And he said, no, I ain't tried CPR. I said, there's nothing you can do about it now. You know, I said, can you revive it? No, I can't. It's dead. He said, I'm not taking this back to the hunting camp.
Yes, you are.
Because all these men, you know. I said, oh, yeah, you are. Yes, yeah, you are. You're taking it back. He said, I'm not. I said, yeah, you are. You're going to skin it. He said, I'm not taking this to the processor. I said, no, you're not taking the process. You're going to do all this yourself. Anyway, so we get back to the hunting camp. Oh, gosh. His legs wasn't even hanging off the rack.
Whenever he says small, I took, I'm only 14 or 15, maybe younger than that, maybe even 13. I picked the thing up. I bundled all four legs together, picked it up, and sat it on the, I didn't have to use a strap. I just tucked its little feet down into my rack. It rode it was a 2-mile ride
now,
back to
the hunting. Never done that again.
You mean to tell me it didn't hang off the rack of a four-wheeler?
No,
it didn't hang off the rack of a four. It didn't have a spot.
It may have a little bit.
It may have a little bit.
I said it didn't.
It looked like my Belgian Malinois. It was small.
A biscuit and a half.
But anyway.
I told him I was shooting at a coyote.
Threw that thing. I told him, you know, he knew. He didn't do that again, but it was just he was young. He was fired up. Here comes a deer out, and he shot it. But here's the kicker. So I killed a doe that morning, a big old doe. And, you know, they're always bigger than you say, but it is a big doe. And we used to it was freezing. Like, we've had some days where it was freezing all day and night. So I gutted that doe, and he gutted the small deer, and we threw him over in the back of the truck. And we were at Walmart in Aniana, and I didn't think nothing about it, but I had that big doe and the small doe in the back of the truck. This lady comes walking by the truck, and she looks over in there, and it seemed as she looked over, and I thought, she thinks that's a mama and its baby.
She's
going
to cry.
I said, ma'am, ruthless. I know what this looks like, but that's not that deer's baby. And I know she didn't believe me.
No, she didn't believe
me. But I should have never put that deer in there with that other one.
You could have took that deer and put it inside the other one and hit it.
I thought she was going to say, you got a deer and a rabbit.
A deer and a rabbit.
Stone cold killer.
But anyway, I mean, he didn't do that all the time. He never done that again.
He do it all the time. That's the problem. Is I would never tell anybody I was deer hunting. I was rabbit hunting. This run out
big old cane cutter right here.
Yeah.
Now the Black Panther is part of the Hayden Alabama podcast. It just happened, and it has become part of the show. And one of the stories you talked about, you just titled it Wildcat. Is this a Black Panther story?
Well, I've just got my thoughts of what it was. Did not see it, but I was scouting. We had a road that went through our hunting club, and I'd been scouting this area, and I saw some very, very big paw prints, very big paw prints. And I never thought panther. I was thinking, that's the biggest bobcat that's ever, because it crossed there a lot. So the road that I was in, my buddies, they got a kick it. I don't care what they think. I know what I heard. Okay, so you can take it. God is my witness. I know what I heard. So I went and I parked my four-wheeler in pine saplings just, you know, over my head, a little bit taller, real thick. You know how they come up down the edge of an old logging road. And I walked probably from my four-wheeler 200 or 300 yards to my stand. And at that time, I would hunt till it got dark and I'd come down. Never shot a deer after dark, but I'd set my stand till it got dark, you know.
We're not judging.
You came to the right place. Yeah. Not
to judge. But I haven't, really. I mean, but anyway, so, and I'd seen deer tracks in this area. Well, I was there, of course, but, you know, I never thought anything about it. I just thought, man, that's got to be a monster bobcat. I'd like to see it. But anyway, so it got dark. And so when you're walking down, the road had grew up so much with those saplings that was just about wide enough for a four-wheeler. So you're walking them through there, and it's just saplings, and it's white, it's black dark. And it didn't scare me till I thought more about it after this story. So I'm walking down this road, and there's a holler to my right. And I heard, I don't know what it was. It's some kind of wildcat. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you now, it had to have been, I say it's a mountain lion, what everybody, I just say it's some kind of wildcat. It wasn't no bobcat. That thing about 20 yards from me, I'm black dark, you know, a hat light, and I'm a good 100 yards from my four-wheeler, and that thing screams out down there about 20 yards from me, and all I can think is this thing is
just smell blood, ain't he?
Yeah, he's come, and I got my climber, and I put it way up on my head because that's, you know, they say they'll grab you on the neck.
That's what I hear.
And just so
by the steel, if you so, get this,
and if somebody could have had a video of me running in that muddy clay,
clanking,
yeah, and clanking, you know, thinking I'm gonna get away from it. I'm telling it right where dinner is. You know, I'm ringing the dinner bell, and all I could think of, that thing's been easing down that road, watching me. And I don't know what happened.
Licking his chops, wasn't he? I know he's licking his chops.
But you can't see it. It's black, dark. He's down there in pines. And it didn't just do it one time. It was, I mean, I ain't never heard nothing like it in my life.
Did it sound like a screaming woman?
No.
That's what we hear.
Well, it was like, my son, well, let me finish the story first. So I'm running to my four-wheeler now. I don't get scared easy. But I'm telling you, this boy was scared.
Got the hackles up.
This boy was scared. I ain't never had hair stand up on my neck. And that thing just keeps a squalling. And I get to my four-wheeler, and I didn't even put my stand on my rack, on the back rack. I threw that thing up on the front rack. I crunk that thing up, and that thing was bouncing. I was bouncing. And I thought that thing had to be chasing after me. But anyway, I got home, and of course, I got to the hunting camp, and I told him, I said, "Thank you. I've encountered a mountain lion. Oh, you just bobcat." I said, "Y'all think what you want to," mm-hmm. But Cody, he started pulling up cat sounds on the
I wasn't telling him what sound
he said. He said, "Was that it?" I said, "No," and he said, "That's a bobcat." And he kept several different cats. He said, "Was that it?" I said, "That's exactly what it was." He said, "That's a mountain lion." Black and I said, "That's pants. What it sounded like." And I don't know if he's just passing through, and I don't know what made it do that. But that black dark now, and this thing's screaming
now,
at me.
Now, Mr. Camp. Now, he just went through a whole story and told us about not backing down from a fight.
Hey, I didn't want
well,
to
that's
fight
one
that.
Of them, though, that you decided you didn't quite have the upper hand.
No,
on
I'm telling you, when you hear something squalling like that at you, and you don't know where it's at,
you better find somewhere else to be.
Let me say this. I was getting out of my shooting house walking back to my four-wheeler when all this stuff was happening.
So, like, I was racing?
I was like, who is driving that fast through this road? I was like, I'm going to go see who this is. There's somebody trespassing over here. And I come out of this little trail, and my daddy's four-wheeler, zoom, gone. And I was he must be in
was
trouble.
Was a big cat chasing him?
I didn't see one. No.
Hey, that's one of the scariest I've ever been in my life. Now, I'm telling you. And I told them boys, I said, I don't care what y'all think. Y'all think what you want to. I know what I heard.
Now, you didn't interrogate Cody very much. Now, he was over here grinning quite heavily now. And he was quick on the draw with them cat sounds on that phone now.
I think you had them earbuds.
I think
you
did,
hey,
too.
That was the best imitation I've ever heard in my life, it was. But that thing just kept a squalling. It was, you know, I've heard a bobcat just... They don't just keep on. They just a couple times, and they're not really loud, you know. But this right here was, I mean, it
letting
was.
You know right where he was at.
Oh, my goodness. That's scary. That was scary. And I didn't think I'd ever go back and hunt after dark again. It took me a long
it'll
time.
It'll change
to,
your mind.
Change your mind. It'll change
we had a mind. Facebook message today about a Black Panthers are real. Show did.
Brian sent us a text this week. Oh, look at this picture of big old cat in Gadsden. I said, Brian.
We held it back a little bit, y'all's profession and what you do in life, but you gave us a little nugget early on when we was talking about the brawl at the the brawl the revival. So obviously, you know, you're a pastor.
Yes.
And you both are.
Yes. Yes.
And so now we're going to transition to.
After all that fighting, we got to go to church.
We got to go to church, baby. So we got a few church stories here and maybe one funeral story. Why don't y'all bless us with some of them?
All right. So the first one would be involving him. So he got me in some more predicaments with the church. So we had a dear lady, bless her heart. She's getting up in age and she's getting a little senile, you know. And I think I am already, but she just, you know, you could tell she was getting off a little bit. And I still to this day think that my son pushed her on over the edge. So one Sunday,
it's your fault.
She was standing in the sanctuary. We had a foyer, then the sanctuary, and there's that cutout with the vent. Right there, I guess to pour air or whatever. It didn't have a filter in it. It's just like a return vent right there. And it went into the sanctuary. So she was standing in front of that that vent saying, somebody's calling my name. And we're like, you know, we just sort of straight up. She said, who keeps saying my name? And I'm looking, and I'm like, I don't see anybody. Ain't nobody in here.
Is it the Lord?
Somebody is calling my name. And I said, where's Cody? And I step around in the foyer and he's at that vent calling her name out.
I was whispering it, kind of.
Oh, I'm seeing it. I've got a direct visual of what's
calling
happening.
Her name out.
Well, what did you do?
When he saw me, I mean, it was like you saw a ghost. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm in car.
I made him apologize or whatever. But,
oh, you got you. So you made her sane again. Oh, you solved the mystery.
That's the same lady. And while I'm telling this about her, sweet lady, she loved me. She'd stand up pretty regular at church and say I was the best pastor they ever had. Oh. And one of their former pastors went to church there. But anyway,
whether or not you believe in Black Panthers
or
not,
that was so awkward.
No doubt,
that was so awkward. Anyway, so she was slipping. She was on. She had a right. She's 80, way up in her 80s, you know. And she had some surgery one time, and this has never happened. This is the only time this happened to me. Went to see her and. Walked into the room. She's, you know, older people are hard of hearing. And I lean over. And, you know, I know you can't believe somebody would have a problem hearing me. I mean, that's just unheard of, you know, for somebody not be able to hear me. And so one of the first things y'all noticed was how loud I was.
Yeah, we turned you down a little
Turned
bit.
Me down. But anyway, I lean over in the bed. And I say, how are you doing? She turns over, grabs me. Pulls me down in the bed and starts kissing me.
Oh, no.
And she was strong for 80 something. I was in my late 20s. I was pretty strong. And this lady has a death lock on me, and my wife's standing here.
My mama's probably just laughing. You'd have to.
My wife's laughing, plus trying to break the grip she's got on me. And I've got a hold of the handrails, and she's getting in every kiss she can get. Before I raise up, and she had some kind of it wasn't a brain surgery, but it was something to do with some blood flow to her brain or whatever. But I had to fight it off. I had to fight to get loose from her. Never had that happen before like that. Kiss me.
I get it, but I got to know where. I got to know where. I mean, we talking about cheek kisses, or we talking about shoes going.
Just kissing. And one, I mean, I told somebody, I said, one of them popped when I pulled it off.
Golly.
She had the suction on it, boy. Now, here's what I've got.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
Lord, no. But what I want to know is, what did she think you said?
All I said was, how are you doing?
I understand what you said, but what did she think you said?
What did she think I said? But anyway, God rest her soul. She's done gone. But, you know, my wife will still laugh about that.
You're supposed to get disqualified on a hospital visit.
Well, you never go
alone.
I've
not told everybody that, but it's, you know, there's nothing bad. I didn't have any, I've told everybody now, but You know, there's some stories that nobody will ever know that happened to me.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, we over got the years. Those. Mm-hmm. But in every pastor's got them. They won't tell. They
just
you
don't
know,
tell them.
They just don't tell them. But that right there is one to remember. I'll never forget being pulled down in the hospital bed.
Mm-hmm.
This has probably been 25 years ago, I guess. Before I went out to pastor, we was having communion and we use wine. We have foot washing, and so the ladies would be over on one side of the church and the men on the other side of the church. And you know, we'd done the wine part, you know, and everybody knows a communion cup, a little bit communion cup. So I was over with the men. You know, when they get done with the communion, they set the trays up there on the table, and then we go into the foot washing part of the service. And I thought Cody was over with his mama. And his mama thought, and why would somebody take their eyes off, you know? After all these stories I've told you.
You've convinced me.
That to take our eyes off of him. So I thought he was with his mother. She thought he was with me, you know. And it's pretty spiritual service, pretty humbling service, foot washing service. And I look over there, and Cody's taking shots of the communion wine.
Just throwing them back.
Yeah. I don't think he got. Well, you know,
he's
the Bible,
cleaning the bottle.
Well, the Bible says.
He couldn't have gotten no more than 14 or 15 of them.
The Bible says a little wine for thine often infirmities and for your stomach's sake. I don't think he had any stomach issues. No,
he was clearing them up.
Yeah, he took care of that, but. Oh, I've never, ever felt. I mean, whose kid does that? Nobody does that. I mean, he just, and what it was, there was an older boy standing there watching him.
Oh, yeah.
And that boy told him, drink. I don't think he drank like a half a tray. He probably got two or three down, whatever.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't have saw him.
He's going to finish him up.
He'd have polished him off, wouldn't he?
I mean, how would you like to have to tote him to the car?
Out of the communion space.
Where's he been to communion, you know?
Where's he been to communion?
And, you know, and I stood him up and watched him. He didn't show any effects of it. So.
That's funny.
You are a character.
I wish I remembered that. I really.
He don't know
you blacked out, did
he? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nobody remembers.
I remember something about waking up at home. My dad said, "What did you do?"
Kidding. It's a side effect of too much alcohol.
That, I figure he got two or three in.
He took a nap like no other after that. Yeah.
I don't know how many he would have finished off if I hadn't saw him, you know. But my goodness gracious.
I don't remember what led to it.
We had communion the other day, and my little girl was thirsty.
Uh-oh.
Daddy. I'm going to get me some of that. I said, no, baby. Can't have that. You know, hush. Go back here and get you some water. No, Daddy, I want some of that right there. Mm-hmm. I said, Holly Kate, hush now. And she finally looked at me. She said, but Daddy, I'm thirsty. Mm-hmm. I said, baby, you cannot have that. That is the communion wine. I'm going to have to keep my eyes on her. She'll be pulling the Cody.
You know what Proverbs is? Yeah. It sparkles when it's in the cup.
It sparkles. But anyway, and I started pastoring a church, and it wasn't funny to her then, but she said it's okay now. So
after counseling is fine.
Yeah, that's so we hadn't been at this church long, and we were leaving one Sunday to go eat, and my wife she's had a lot of falls. She's just. Had a lot of falls. And
she's weak ankles. Huh?
Anyway, we were going out of the front of the church. Now, you know, you got to get this picture. Front door of the church. We got a big parking lot in the front. Mm-hmm. We come walking out the front door. She steps off the curb. She fell.
She stepped on a step that wasn't there.
She fell a long time. You know, if you fall real quick, it ain't that funny, but when you try to stay upright and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But what was bad was she hit the ground, and her dress was way up over her head.
And What was the population of the parking lot at this time?
Oh, it's full.
They run probably 100. She said, 150.
We got in a car. She said, I'm not going back to that church.
I ain't going back.
Your ministry's over.
She said, I just flashed the whole congregation in the parking lot. And, you know, at this time, I'm not laughing. No, I'm not laughing now. But when I got tickled in the car, and then it was on then for laughing. But anyway, that was her one time that really got us in a fix. But, I mean, she failed.
It's just funny. Falling is funny.
If I fall right now, you better laugh.
I would laugh at you.
You might as well, because I'd laugh too.
And, you know, over the years, you just had a little boy one time that, you know, kids go home with you. And believe it or not, they would, every now and then, other people would let kids go home with him. But anyway. So I had a little boy one time that came home with him. And he got home that evening and told his mama I was cussing. So she said.
Their pastor.
The pastor. Yeah. Pastor. Said,
you told your mother that he was cussing.
No, the
guest.
The
guest boy went back to his house and told him that he
daddy's
was cussing.
His daddy was a deacon.
Said, I was cussing. So I'll tell you the story what happened.
So,
I wasn't cussing.
He was
but,
not.
But I was not. But anyway, we got back to church and his mama, she was sore life, said, he said that the preacher, that's what they call me, preacher, was cussing. My wife, you know, she was like, what? Said, what happened was we were going down the road, had three kids in the back seat. This guy pulls out in front of me, I mean, squalling tires. I locked and I hollered, you idiot. Because it scared me. I don't say that a lot about people, but that time it just scared me.
You can
and to them, worse. He was taught that that was a bad
That's
word.
That's a bad word.
So he went home and told his mama that the preacher was cussing.
Well, if it would have been Covington Chain, he'd have done the same thing. Because the idiot is not on the list of approved words.
But anyway, you know, you get scared sometimes. But anyway, I have been accused of that.
Well, I can't believe a boy whose parents told him the idiot was a cuss word did let him come home.
Yeah, no.
Come home with him.
That's
yeah,
what
come
I'm
home
talking
with
about.
Him. Yeah.
They must have had a weak moment of communion service. Must have lasted a long time.
Yeah.
They weren't at that service, they, is what it was.
You know. Well, and, you know, it too, there's been a couple. I'll tell this one that I've talked about stuff that he's done. My daughter, you know, the only thing I remember her doing one time, and it was something like another story told on here. My niece had surgery, and we didn't know. They were 6, 7, whatever. Our driveway is pretty long. Maybe they're a little bit older, 8, whatever. She had had surgery on her ankle or something, or leg. I don't know what it was. You remember
Amanda, yeah, she had her
anyway
thyroid taken out.
So anyway, they pushed her out to the side of the road with a wheelchair, and was trying to get people to stop and give them money. So, you know.
Who was?
Another story. My daughter was.
She was
she
using.
She pushed her out to the side of the road.
Yeah. She had that little neck brace on her neck.
I mean, a live decoy.
Surgery.
Why not?
Yeah,
we got a live decoy right here.
And had a sign taking up money.
What a fail-safe. I mean, that. You
it's
can't,
like
you
an
can't
original
lose.
GoFundMe.
Yeah.
But an emotion, like dragging on your emotions, like I guess I better.
That's the only thing she ever really.
Please tell me it was a county road, not the state
it
road.
A county
too.
Road.
Did they get any money?
I don't think they got any money because we called them real quick. Oh, you know, they had it set up like they liked it out there with their sign and. Anyway.
My mama was wheelchair, and my cousin's got a neck brace on from her surgery, just a neck pad or something.
Yeah,
and it looked pretty. I mean, it looked like it was a pretty bad situation.
I think you need to do some more preaching. Couldn't get nobody to stop giving babies some money. You got a tough crowd up there.
But she didn't ever really give me no material, but now I have brought some things on myself. I tell this one on me. So I'm in a hurry and late, you know, and me and my wife probably had a few disagreements on the way, and Cody and kids fighting or whatever, and I'm just, you know, and I know this ain't right, but I've broke a lot of, And I know preachers that'll tell you they've broke a lot of speed limits going to revival service. You just always just seem like everything holds you back. So I was going down this road, and there was this car. You know, that car. They got nowhere to go. They're just driving. And I mean, I got over in that left lane and I let her eat going down the road. Went around her. I just give them the look, you know, whatever. I didn't know who it was. It's Darty Dart. And so I get to church and I got to preaching. And, you know, preachers will use stuff that's happened to us recently. We can tie it into the message. And I was talking about the devil will slow you down. The devil will slow you down in your progress. And I said, I was like on the way to church tonight. I said, I was trying to get here to preach. Devil got in front of me and slowed me down. I said, that's what he'll do in your life, you know. And I mean, I had a ball preaching about that. Devil slowing you down. And so I was preaching, got done, you know, and the devil hinder you. And he does, you know, he does hinder you. And I got to the back of the church, and everybody's coming out. And this lady, the most sweetest, she's a member of our church, the sweetest saint you've ever met in your life. She said, Brother Larry, I said, yes, I was in front of you tonight. I was the one in front of you.
Did she say anything else, or had she said all she needed to say?
I said, I'm sorry.
I thought you might have said, I didn't know you was the devil.
And she might have said that. I was. She thought it was funny, too. And you talking about somebody. It could have been anybody but her. I mean, she's like
I thought the you sweetest. Were going to say, she said, Brother Larry, I was the devil in front of you.
She said, that was me. I'm sorry. Oh, goodness gracious.
She did good not to say something when you were preaching.
While you was preaching. That's where I thought it was
going. I did,
going.
Too. I really thought it was. Kevin Ham tells a story like that when he was a young preacher. You know, a piece of pastor at Garnet First Baptist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he tells that story. He's the same thing, going to revival late.
Mm-hmm.
And
he got on them.
Got on them. But he stayed behind them instead of just passing them.
Yeah.
He is honking the horn, and he
couldn't get around him. And he noticed that he was getting real close to the church, and it hit him.
Golly, they going.
What if this person would be going to the church? He said, "Lo and behold, a blinker come on at the church," and he said, "I've never felt so small."
I mean, all you can say is, "I'm sorry."
I think he said, though, he just kept driving.
And then come back.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that's what I would have done. There's no way I would have turned behind him.
So I got one more. And this had to do, and I talked to the people about this before I'd done it. They thought it was, you know, funny afterwards, so. You got to think about, I've never done one where they put people in a mausoleum. I don't know if you've ever done that before. Never. I've seen mausoleums, but I've never had a funeral where they put them in mausoleums. And I got out there to the mausoleum, and this lady had specified that she wasn't going to be put in the ground. She just wanted them. She didn't want to be put in the ground. So we get out to the mausoleum, and I'm like, how are they going to get this? She was like second row from the top of the mausoleum. And they had a sky lift out there, one of those little skyjacks, mm-hmm. a scissor lift. And we had the funeral, a very good funeral and everything. And, you know, and it's like where I live, it's probably like around here, there's all kinds that are at a funeral. Everybody's family's got all kinds. Mm-hmm. You know, I got them, everybody's got them. And they just wanting to help. But anyway, the guy that was on the lift, I could tell, I used to rent lifts for our work and everything. And I could tell he was a little skittish on the lift. Now, he's fixing to put a coffin or casket up in the mausoleum. And he went up with it, and it just slammed, just bam, like right there. And the casket does this. It starts beeping. So anybody knows that when that thing's beeping, it's off balance. It won't let you, that's why it slammed on, because it's saying it's you know, it's off balance. So he done that up, bam, down, bam. We got a casket on here. These people's family member is in this casket, and it's going up and down. He's slamming, he's wiggling. He said, I think this thing's got a short in it, and I'm sitting over here. I'm the preacher. You know, most people think that's all I do is preach. I don't know anything about anything else. And I'm sitting over here, and he said, somebody in the crowd said, it's got a short in it. And all the good old boys start coming out of the crowd. They're going to work on it. He said, I think it's a short in that handle. This is a brand new one. You can tell it's brand new. I said, short. I said, it's doing what it's supposed to. This other guy said, we're going to have to override the switch.
Oh, bypass.
Okay. Four or five buddies. We all know them.
Yeah, I got
said, it. We're going to, one guy's hollering, we're going to have to find the override. I said, there ain't no override on this thing. He's going, bam, bam, while they're talking about it. Up and down. That casket's doing this. I mean, they're waiting. I'm like, they're going to dump her out here on the ground. And what are we going to do then? And this guy says, we're going to jump out the switch. Let's jump that switch out.
Oh, man.
And so I had to intervene. Mm-hmm. I had to say, all right, boys, I do know a lot about this, that it's not going to go up. And they're still hollering, short. It's got a short. One's hollering, override. We're going to have to jump the switch out. Anyway, I tell them how to do it. They level it up, raise it up, and put her in. But anyway, that's the scariest I've ever been.
Oh, yeah. Nothing you can do about it. If she goes down, that's it. You're at the mercy of gravity and integrity of
casket. What would you do?
Walk out.
I don't know.
I'd leave.
Hey.
But, I got to go.
But
I know you maybe haven't been a pastor for very long. You got anything you want to share? Is it all still too fresh?
Well, right before I went to pastor, and I won't say what church I was at or anything, but anybody that knows my oldest daughter, Maddie, I'll tell you her name.
A little payback, ain't it?
Everybody tells me that I'm paying for my raising with her, and you'd have to know her. She don't like talking to many people, but if she talks to you, there's no telling what she's liable to say. There's no telling what she's liable to do to another kid, stuff like that.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I hear all the time that's a girl version of Cody.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, I was preaching at a service, and this was maybe a month before I went to pastor. And, again, Maddie don't get far out of her little circle. Well, there's a song.
Tight circle.
There's a song director that went to this particular church, and he was probably late 70s, early 80s, picking at her before church, and she didn't really want to have nothing to do with him. And so it was after Sunday school, he came and picked at her some more.
You know, most kids, if you keep picking them, you think they're going to come around. Yeah. She came around all right.
Yeah, well, so after church, really good service. I'm standing there talking to the song director. Again, he's on up in age, and he sits there poking at Maddie, and Maddie's starting to liven up to him. She's starting to fight back a little bit, and I finally say, all right, that's enough. Don't. I tell Maddie, I said, quit, you're going to get it. And so he sees that she's about to get in trouble. Well, we're done talking 5 minutes, and I hear little footsteps. She comes and gives him a haymaker. He went pale and almost went down, and I was about to jerk her up to just wear her out. And he caught me, and he said, Brother Cody, he said, I started this, and he said, that was a good one.
She picked her spot.
Oh.
Yes. I've never been so embarrassed by something that she's done in my entire life. If I hadn't went to pastor, they probably would have never asked me to come back after that.
Well, let's stay in church for a minute. I'm going to take my hat off because we got some negative comments about reading God's word with a hat on. We don't want to cause anybody to stumble.
Cause
you to stumble, like our little reel that we stumbled down.
There. We did stumble there.
Well, last week, I don't know that I read. I know I read 11 on down a little bit, but I want to go back. So I preached this passage this last Sunday, and somebody came up to me after and said it meant a lot to them. It's something they never thought about. So anytime somebody says that, and this person's been going to church a long time, I thought, well, maybe somebody else could get a little something from it. Well, this is Ephesians chapter 4. It's just verses 9 and 10. It says, notice that it says, he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, to give a little context without having to read back and forth, is Paul's writing to them that Jesus won the victory to give gifts to the church. And he's talked about the positions that he gave gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. But also, he's talking about the gifts that he gave each and every individual believer for the purpose of building up the church. Now, here's where I want to come back to the passage. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I don't know how often we think about that God has given us a gift to use for his kingdom, to help build his kingdom. We all didn't get the same gift. Some people got more gifts. We're not going into all that. But the point is I don't know that we think about the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we could even have a gift. So Jesus was on a throne in heaven, demoted himself, descended to the earth to take on flesh just so that he could be the sacrifice for our sins, to conquer death and give, you know, the ability for anybody to call upon him for forgiveness. Do we think about that kind of sacrifice when we think about using that gift? You know, all the price that Jesus paid just so. And I think, you know, you may not know what your gift is. That's fine. But I think you need to be praying about, you know, there's the application. If you are a believer today, you've believed and professed Jesus Christ as Lord, you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You've been given a gift to use for the kingdom. If you don't know what it is, no big deal. But pray about it. Mm-hmm. Ask God what gift that is. And then let that motivate you, what Christ did to use that gift to help build his kingdom.
Yeah, I think that if you think about that from a standpoint of gifts that are given to you, maybe as a child, your parents give you a gift. Oftentimes those sacrifices were made, and you see those sacrifices, the sacrifice that your parent maybe
extra shift
or whatever to do that. And it makes you appreciate that much more. You were talking about giving your child a gift at some point in time. And I remember those, looking back, saying, my mom and my dad did for me in order to make that happen. Yep. And if we think about it, we appreciate that so much more than if we were to just say, oh, hey, great, thanks. And we can be appreciative. But if we just really understand the sacrifice that was made there to make that available.
And if I might add something too, I believe it would change the whole culture of our church if we really let that sink in, what it costs for us to be.
Just to be here.
Just to be saved. Mm-hmm. Just to, you know, and that's something, that, you know, I know preachers try to drill that, but if we could ever really... If the whole congregation could ever have show the appreciation that we should for the sacrifice. I mean, we talk about it, we read it, but to let it sink in, there would be no reason for us to not be able to worship every Sunday.
Have you ever thought or talked to someone about worshiping if God didn't bless you with another blessing?
Yeah.
If he didn't do anything else for you than what he's already done.
Yep.
And I'm talking about from the day you're, if salvation was all you got and God said, all right, that's what you get. It would be more than enough for us to worship him day in and day out saying, God, thank you. God, thank you. Mm-hmm. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy.
Mm-hmm. Quick illustration and we'll move to the final stage. I've been trying to get better at this, but you set me up for it. You talked about when your parents give you a gift. When I was 21, I woke up on Christmas morning, and I was still living at home. We still did Christmas morning just like that's five. Yeah. I mean, I loved it. Yeah, I love Christmas morning. And I went in there and opened up a couple of gifts, and my mom said, I got you one more thing. I said, okay. And she told me where it was at, and I went over there, and there sat a Benelli Super Black Eagle 2.
Dang.
That's a fine piece of machinery.
Yes.
The first thought in my mind was, I mean, I was excited because I had told her, you know, that's the shotgun of shotguns. That's the one I want. Got to have that one. But the thought in my mind is, man, we can't really afford that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so. But she afforded it because she knew how much
it meant
mm-hmm. to me. And what did that make me want to do? That's what I kind of want to focus on. Did it make me want to go, oh, thanks, see ya? Mm. No. I reflected on the sacrifice, and that motivated my thanksgiving. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's the same. We just focus on the sacrifice, and I think that will lead to much more thanksgiving and much more motivation to use the gifts that God's given us for His kingdom so that we can give back just a little bit.
Yep.
We'll never give what
never
He gave.
Never repay, but
just to give back effort. A little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was good, fellas. I'm going to put my hat back on. Hope that doesn't offend anybody.
Well, I put mine on after we read. I think maybe if you're discussing, surely we can.
Not sure. We'll get some feedback.
We'll know.
I guarantee we'll get some comments.
I'll find out.
Got several critics.
We got a handful. We love them.
That's
you
right.
know, we love them. We appreciate them.
Yeah.
Maybe I think the heart was in the right place.
That's right.
So, new game. Here's
I
what we do.
I actually like this. The other
game. Glory to be. He's happy with something. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. But we do have to borrow one of y'all's cell phones. Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to let you, as our honorary guest, Mr. Larry, we're going to let you pick a verb. Think of last week was working. So you pick a verb, running, walking, whatever.
Talking,
and we're
preaching.
And last week we chose the worst of the verb. So the worst day at work, the worst time working. And that's what we're all going to have 60 seconds to tell a story about, but it's not going to be the worst this time. We're going to swap it up.
This is
going to
be
the best. This is going to be the best of whatever verb Mr. Larry comes up with. So give us the verb, and then we'll paper, rock, scissors for the order.
Running.
He chose running. The best time of running you've ever had. I've got mine already.
The best time of running.
Best time of running. Don't function into exercise. Let your mind go.
I thought it was going to be the worst.
I figured Mr. Camp's already taught his best time running away from that wild.
That's true. That was a good one. You did do well. You lived. So paper, rock, scissors, shoot. Ready? Paper, rock, scissors, shoot. You're out. That was kind of paper upside, vertical paper. All right. So you're a first teller. Paper, rock, scissors, shoot. Ooh. So I'm going to be the last teller. Y'all got to decide who's going to be the second, third. So do it again.
I'll be. Okay.
Paper, rock, scissors, shoot. Okay, so it goes 1, 2, 3, 4.
So I'm supposed to do the best time running.
Best time running.
There is nothing about running that I enjoy at all. So my best time running is when I'm not running.
Well, we just got the loser of this week for sure. The verdict's still out of whether you were the best storyteller last week, but guarantee you're the worst storyteller this week.
All right.
That was a good story. The best time running is not running.
Now, here's what's going to be. You're going to get some people who hate running, too. It's like, oh, yes, Shane told us this story.
Yeah.
All right, Cody, you ready?
Yep.
Hold on. Start over. I went.
Hold
on.
False start.
All right, I learned very quick in football while running, and this was a story I was going to tell, and I can do it quick. I always was told by my dad, don't ever stop running until the whistle blows. Well, I was in 8th or 9th grade, and we was scrimmaging against the varsity, and I always played fullback, and so after I got done blocking, if there was nobody blocking, I'd just kind of jog around behind the running back. Well, one of the high school middle linebackers who also went to play for BYU later on after he graduated seen me jogging whenever I was walking, ear held me, knocked me unconscious. My dad come from the bleachers. This was about a 5-minute walk from the bleachers to the football field, and I woke up with him and a few other people dragging me out of an ant bed. Moral of the story was I learned not to stop running until the whistle blew.
Ear hold.
I thought she was going to say your daddy come out there and
lit you up.
Lit him up. Lit that middle linebacker up.
All right. When I was a kid, we used to like to go out in the cow pasture when there was an apple tree out in the cow pasture, and we get up in the tree and throw green apples at this bull. And after a while, he got to play in the game with us. So the best time I ever had running is when I would throw those apples and he would graze on out there a little bit. And I didn't time it, but you just had so long to get to the fence.
and he would nearly catch us every time. And I know kids have done that, but my best time was making it to the fence before the bull got to me.
Oh, hey, 20 seconds left on the timer.
That's always a good run when you make it away from that bull. All right, here we go. Senior year, Leeds comes to the Hay Den, to the Robert Reed Stadium. We're up by 2 touchdowns going into halftime. We should not have even been close to the game. So I'm super excited, but I realized we'd given everything we'd give. So we go back out there immediately. 2 dead drives. They put 2 touchdowns. They're back up. Well, I got mad, got the ball. They finally called my play. I was playing tailback. I was going to the left side of the field. We were probably on the 30-yard line. I take off, get the handoff immediately, get hit, spin out of that. Next person, get a hit immediately again, spin out of that. Now I got a little bit of running room. All I got is a linebacker. I stiff arm him, go out. There's a cornerback. I get past the cornerback, and by that time somebody has caught me. I get past them. There's nobody left. I have a trail of broken tackles, and right as I'm crossing the finish line, I see one of our linemen crush somebody in the back, and I watch the flag come out as I cross the finish line.
That's it.
So that's the best and the worst run that I ever had, because it counted for nothing.
Nothing. At least you Bo get a Graham. Big sack of nothing.
I will name drop him. I will never forget it.
Bo Dizzle.
Bo
Golly.
Graham.
Oh, I had a lineman like that.
I don't know what he's thinking, man.
But I know exactly what he's thinking. He was getting in that lick, boy.
And he flattened him. But he hit all back shoulder pads, I guarantee.
Gotta love him.
Oh, man.
That's funny.
Well, I had a lot of fun with you guys tonight.
Yeah, we enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
I was hoping it'd be worth y'all's while.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's going to do it this week at the Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Cody.
I'm Larry.
We'll see you next time.